escape pod ready.
Launch escape pod.
September 29th. I'm Earl Green, and I'll be your guide through the fantastic, the futuristic, and the unmistakably geeky. This is what tomorrow looked like yesterday. On this day in 1977, as the American space program was confined to unmanned missions, the Soviet Union launched its largest and most sophisticated space station yet, Salyut 7. With the ability to add new modules to the station's docking ports and a more refined automatic docking system, Salyut 7 allowed for more than one crew to work aboard the station at once, a vital step on the road to Mir and the International Space Station. In 1988, NASA returned to space after over 2 years of investigating and trying to rectify the causes of the Challenger accident.
T-minus 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10. We're go for main engine start. 7, 6, start. 3, 2, 1, 0, and liftoff! Liftoff! Americans return to space as Discovery clears the tower.
Roger all, Discovery.
Crew confirms roll program, Houston now controlling. 3 inches at 104%. Pretty good APU, 3 good fuel cells. Standing by to begin throttle down to 65%. Engine throttling down now to maintain a certain speed as the spacecraft passes through max Q. To see engines begin to throttle back up at about 59 seconds. Mark 1 minute, velocity 2,300 feet per second, altitude 5.9 nautical miles, downrange distance 3 nautical miles.
Discovery, go at throttle up.
Roger, go.
Discovery given a go at throttle up, 3 engines at 104%. Velocity 3,200 feet per second, altitude 10.8 nautical miles, downrange distance 8 nautical miles.
Space Shuttle Discovery lifted off with a communications satellite payload and a crew of 5 astronauts. In 2004, Spaceship One rolled into the history books.
Tracking Spaceship One as it streaks through the sky to punch through the atmosphere and reach suborbital flight. 35 seconds, 135,000 feet into the flight.
Looking for an 87-second burn. Uh-oh.
He's in the roll, it appears, at this point. Does not appear to be a scripted maneuver.
Shut down. Come on, Mike.
We have shut down main engines to Spaceship One.
Still in the climb.
250,000 feet, still in the climb.
5 knots indicated, so feathers coming.
These are the tense moments, folks. Communications with Air Show Center here have been cut off, and we are waiting to hear from them that Mike Melville is okay. All systems are nominal.
330, they made it, Jim.
330,000 feet?
They made it.
330,000, that would put them over the top.
Yep.
328,000 feet needed to achieve the required altitude of 62 miles, 100 kilometers.
338.
On its first qualifying flight for the $10 million Ansari X Prize, Burt Rutan's Spaceship One began an uncontrolled roll at 3 times the speed of sound. A second flight was necessary to claim the X Prize, and when Spaceship One returned safely from its suborbital space trip, engineers began working on preventing the roll problem from recurring. And in 2011, China launched a small space station of its own, Tiangong 1, which would later be visited by Shenzhou 8 and Shenzhou 9. And on this day in 1967, the Enterprise beamed aboard another kind of space probe.
What do we do now? Go up and knock?
Relate your point of origin.
We are from the United Federation of Planets.
Insufficient response. All things have a point of origin. I will scan your star charts.
If you care to leave your ship, we'll provide the necessary life support systems.
Non sequitur. Your facts are uncoordinated.
Jim, I don't think anybody's in there.
I contain no parasitical beings. I am Nomad.
In my opinion, that's a machine.
Nomad caused trouble aboard the ship until Captain Kirk convinced it to self-destruct in the Star Trek episode, The Changeling. In 1979, the TARDIS was once again on a course set by The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy creator, Douglas Adams.
Shall we take the lift or fly?
Let's not be ostentatious.
All right, let's fly then.
That would look silly. We'll take the lift. Come on.
The much-loved story City of Death premiered on the BBC, and it would prove to be Adams' last major contribution to the show's scripts before he moved on to galactic hitchhiking full-time. In 1997, the Dominion War was looking grim.
How bad is it, Chief?
It doesn't look good. I'm gonna have to switch to auxiliary life support. Deflectors are down, guidance systems shot, and...
And what?
The core matrix is fried. We don't have warp drive.
Well, forgive my ignorance, but if we don't have warp drive, how long is it going to take us to reach the closest Federation starbase?
A long time, Mr. Garrick.
How long?
17 years, 2 months, and 3 days. Give or take an hour.
The sixth season of Star Trek Deep Space Nine premiered with the crew in the middle of a full-scale war. And in 2012, Rory and Amy left the TARDIS, victims of time and fate.
Amy, what are you doing?
That gravestone, Rory's, there's room for one more name, isn't there?
What are you talking about? Back away from the Angel. Come back to the TARDIS, we'll figure something out.
The Angel, would it send me back to the same time to him? I don't know. Nobody knows. But it's my best shot, yeah?
No!
Doctor, shut up! Yes, yes, it is!
Amy!
Well then... I just have to blink, right?
No!
It'll be fine. I know it will. I'll be with him, like I should be. Me and Rory together.
As the 11th Doctor's loyal companions vanished in the episode The Angels Take Manhattan. You can read about these events and many more on thelogbook.com's ever-evolving timeline of geek history. And you can pick up the logbook's original books and DVDs, along with hundreds of other titles, in the logbook.com store. Thanks for listening to The Escape Pod.
Escape pod was written and produced by Earl Kane.